Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and we're going through the Bible. So I hope you're enjoying these studies. They are available at my website. I have posted there. We started in Genesis this year, several months ago. Went through Exodus. I don't have Exodus posted yet, but upon hearing this, it may be posted or it may not be. So, but do watch out for it if I get any email requests that might motivate me to get the work done. There's so much work to be done here. And for all of those of you who wonder who I am, where I'm located, of course, I give the address in Tulare, California. So I'm in an undisclosed location of Tulare County. The address, of course, is a mail drop because we don't have an address on the property here. I live and I serve on a piece of property that is held in a trust, and the object of the trust is to hold this property for our Heavenly Father from generation to generation according to His law of inheritance. And what I'd like to do on this property is have it set up and situated to where we can hold the three feast days of the year here according to His calendar, you know, the one He wrote in the sky, and keep His three feast days of the year. I'm not quite ready for that yet because I have a lot of work to do before I can do anything like that. And I don't know if anyone close by would be willing to help out with that or is interested in something like that, or perhaps the Holy Spirit might set upon someone to and move them to offer something in some way toward that end. But you can email me or you can write me at the address that I gave out earlier in the program. And or you can also find the address at my website, crosstheborder.org. Okay. Anyway, we're going to we're going through Leviticus, so let's pick up where we left off. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 16. And Moses diligently sought the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burnt. And he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, which were left alive, saying, "Wherefore have you not eaten the sin offering in the holy place, seeing it is most holy, and God had given it to you to bear the iniquity of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord? Behold, the blood of it was not brought in within the holy place. You should have eaten it in the holy place, as I commanded." So it looks like they're blowing it on the ritual and on the instructions here. And Aaron said unto Moses, "Behold, this day they have offered their sin offering and the burnt offering before the Lord, and such things have befallen me. And if I had eaten the sin offering today, should it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord?" He's asking a question. And when Moses heard that, he was content. Verse 11. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth." And here we're given, they are given the dietary law. This is what they are given as a guideline and for the children of Israel. And we saw how this was carried forward into the New Testament. If you listen to the first part, first half hour of today's study. So if you didn't hear that, you need to hear it. You need to go through it because you say, well, this is just Old Testament. But I believe we've all been lied to. So we need to find out what the New Testament really says. So if you go back there and you listen to the first half hour of today's program and you don't agree with it, well, I'd like to hear from you. Especially if you don't agree with it. If you think I'm wrong and you can show me something else in the scripture that says I'm wrong, I definitely want to hear from you, because the last thing I want to be is wrong. When it comes to His word, I don't want to get it wrong. I don't want to be offering strange fire before my Heavenly Father. So if you know more than me, you know something I don't know, you think I'm wrong, you know, please love me You know, love your neighbor, that's me, as you love yourself, and straighten me out, please. Because the last thing I want to do, I mean, it's worse for me if I'm out here teaching people something that's wrong. You need to help me out, okay? I mean, I don't fear being struck dead, but you never know what could happen. So, you know, you got to take care of me if you know better. So if you listen to part one, you think I'm wrong, straighten me out. It's your duty as my brother. You know, oh man, oh no man anything but to love one another. So he says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud, among the beasts shall you eat. So, you know, you have pork. I mean, pigs, they're cloven-footed, aren't they? I think they are. I think a pig is cloven-footed, so it parteth the hoof. It's cloven-footed, but it doesn't chew the cud. All right, so you're not supposed to eat that. So whatsoever parteth the hoof, is cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud, among beasts you shall not eat. Now horse, well, horse isn't cloven-footed. It doesn't part the hoof. It doesn't chew the cud either, so we shouldn't eat horses. And I'm thinking we shouldn't eat a dog either, because it has a paw. It doesn't have a hoof. So we're not to eat anything that has paws. So it has to be cloven-footed and chew the cud. So you have goats, you have sheep, you have cows, and some other, you know, the deer and so forth. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but he divideth not the hoof. So it has to have both. That's the point. It is unclean to you. And the coney, and that's the coney is a rabbit, because he cheweth the cud, but he divide not the hoof. You know, rabbits have paws like, you know, the toes and so forth, so it doesn't divide the hoof. And the hare, well, I thought that was a hare. Let's see, what is it's a rock rabbit, so it is a type of a rock rabbit. Okay, and the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the swine, though he divide the hoof, and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. And you know, if we went back and we read through Genesis, and we saw that they already had the distinction, that Noah knew what was clean and unclean. They already had the distinction. And I'll bet you, you know, Adam and Eve knew what was clean and unclean too. Because, well, one thing, they weren't allowed to eat meat as a regular part of their diet. Okay, if you'll remember that they ate the herb of the field, and they ate the nuts and the fruit of the tree. They were only forbidden that one fruit, but they ate that anyway. Of course, that tree, I guess, I'm not sure, but it just represented something. So they weren't allowed to eat meat except for the sacrifice. And as we see that with the sacrificial law here. And then we notice that when Noah took animals onto the ark, that he was told that he was to take seven of the clean and one of the unclean, you know, in their pairs. So he knew what the distinction was. The distinction had already been made. And I'm certain that when the high priest made that first sacrifice and he instructed Adam as to how to make the sacrifice, he received instruction as to what was appropriate, what was clean for the sacrificial rite. See, the sacrifice was before the law as it's being received by Moses here, and that's obvious as we go through the scripture, that it was not codified, it was not written down until Moses came and wrote it down and received the complete law. And we'll see that there's, well, we'll just wait for that. But so that's what we're receiving now, is that we're receiving codified in a written form, in specific instruction, what they can eat and what they can't eat. Because as we remember that Noah was told, now you can eat the meat, not just for the sacrifice, but as a regular part of your diet. A lot of people like to use that as a license to eat pork, but it wasn't. because the distinction between clean and unclean remained. So they were allowed to add clean meats to their diet. It only says something else if you want it to say something else. But if you really want to read the context and understand the complete word from beginning all the way through, you understand that there's no license there to eat unclean meats. And certainly there's no license here for the children of Israel to eat unclean meats. So the swine, though it divide the hoof, it be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Or their flesh you shall not eat, or their carcass you shall not touch, they are unclean to you. So you're not allowed to use their flesh, you know, no pork skin footballs. You're not allowed to use their fat to make soap or for anything, the lard. So just off limits. If it's not clean, you're not to use any part of it. You're not to touch it. It's unclean. It says their carcass you shall not touch. Okay, so like you could have a dog. You could have a pet. You could even have a live pet pig if you wanted to, but you're not allowed to touch their carcass or eat it or use it. Any part of it, it's unclean. Okay, so you could have a pet, you could have a rabbit, you could, you know, we have pet dogs, we have horses, they're not clean to eat, we're not to touch their carcass or yet use any part of it for anything. It's unclean. I guess you could feed it to your dogs, because you've heard the proverbial dog food factory story for a mean horse and things like that. But we're not to use it, not to touch it. You shall not eat, and their carcass you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. These you shall eat of all that are in the waters. So that's the rules there that we just read for the meats of the animals that are on the land. Now we have rules for that which is in the water. That whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, you shall eat. So it has to have fins and scales. That's the rule. Simple. It has to have fins and scales. So some fish you can't eat. You know, it's like catfish, bottom feeders. Those are the Heavenly Father's vacuum cleaners. They vacuum up the bottom. They're bottom feeders. They eat all the dung in the water and clean it up. So they're his scavengers in the ocean. So they don't have they don't have scales. So catfish don't have scales, but they have fins. But you have to have both, so you're not to eat catfish. They're unclean to you. That's what it says here. So he has a reason, and perhaps maybe they're not very good for your health. You know, so I think maybe it might be wise to live by this dietary code here. So whatsoever is in the water has fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, you shall eat them. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas, in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. So don't take me out for lobster, because I will decline. Abomination is fairly strong language. And if it's an abomination to me, then it must be an abomination for my health. And I don't want to keel over at 40 years old and die from eating all of this unclean, these unclean garbage trowels of the ocean or the scavengers of the land because I filled myself with the garbage that is in them. So I don't want to eat that stuff. It's an abomination. That's fairly strong language. That's warning me off of that type of stuff. I'm not saying you can't do it. You can do whatever you want. You can think whatever you want. You can justify whatever you want. That's between you and the Almighty. You know, as for me and my house, I will do and teach even the least of these commandments. Okay, you shall eat. These you shall eat. Okay, let's jump to where I was. Okay, they shall be an abomination to you. They shall be an abomination unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination. So if you want to go out and swim with the dolphins, you're fine. But their carcasses are an abomination. When it's dead, it's an abomination to you. You're not to eat it, and you're not to use any part of it when it's dead. Whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination to you. And these are they which ye shall have an abomination among the fowls. So now we have the rules for animals that are on the land. We have the rules for the fish of the sea, and basically it has to have fins and scales. Simple rule. Fins and scales. Fins and scales. If it doesn't have fins, but it has scales, you can't eat it. If it has scales and no fins, you can't eat it. It has to have both fins and scales for you to be able to eat it, for it to be clean. So now let's talk about the birds of the air. These are they which have you shall have an abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. Okay, so they're an abomination if you eat them, if you touch their dead carcass in any way. The eagle, the ossifrage, and I don't know what an ossifrage is. It's a kind of an eagle, it says here. So another kind of an eagle, perhaps a hawk, and probably a hawk. And the osprey, sea eagle, some type of seabird, yeah, an osprey, seagulls, things like that. The vulture and the kite. So what is a kite? It says a hawk or a vulture, a screamer, a blackbird after his kind, and every raven after his kind, and the owl and the night hawk and the cuckoo and the hawk after his kind, and the little owl, the cormorant and the great owl, the swan, the pelican, and the gear eagle. So these were specific types of eagle, but you kind of get the idea. And the stork, the heron after her kind, and the lapwing and the bat. All fowls that creep going upon all fours shall be an abomination. No lizards, no snakes. And so basically you have we know what we're allowed to eat. You can eat the dove, you can eat the chicken, you can eat, those type of birds of the fowl, and you can eat the what do they call those things? Yeah, I forget, but you get the idea. And you don't see too many of these other birds in your market anyway. Most of them are protected, and probably a good thing because people would eat anything that isn't protected. Now, I'll tell you what, if I was starving to death, I might forget all about all these rules to preserve my life, but I'm not in that type of situation right now where I have to, pollute my body to keep it alive, basically. So the fowls that creep going upon all fours shall be an abomination, yet these you may eat of every flying, creeping thing that goeth upon all four, which have legs above their feet, to leap withal upon the earth. Legs above their feet. Okay, so like the grasshopper, that's what we're talking about. Their legs are above their feet. And these of them you may eat, the locust after their kind, the bald locust after his kind, and the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind. And there are cultures that do eat these things. And I'm not much into bugs, but I'll tell you what, if we had a hail of locusts and they came and ate everything on the land so that all that was left was locusts, we could eat the locust. Okay, but all the flying, creeping things which have 4 feet shall be an abomination unto you. And you say, well, but insects have 6 feet. Well, I think that biblically speaking here, they have the four back feet, but the two front feet are their hands for the insects. And on a spider, they use their four front legs as hands. So I think that's the difference here. And for these you shall be unclean. Whosoever touches the carcass of them shall be unclean until even, and whosoever beareth aught of the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until even. So we have cleanliness statutes to go with this because, if something dies, somebody had to take care of it. You couldn't just leave it laying around. It had to be carried out and buried or burned or whatever. So we have a cleanliness statute here for taking care of the carcasses of unclean beasts. The carcass of every beast which divideth the hoof and is not cloven and not cloven-footed, nor cheweth the cud, are unclean unto you. Every one that toucheth them shall be unclean. And whosoever goeth upon his paws among all manner of beasts that go on all four, those are unclean unto you. Whoso toucheth their carcass shall be unclean until even. And he that beareth the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until even. They are unclean to you. And I don't know about you, but you know, where I live, we have chickens and so forth. And if I find a dead animal, I don't even want to touch it. You know, I'll get out the pitchfork and pick it up and dig a hole and bury it. I don't even want to touch a clean animal, let alone an unclean one. So these also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth: the weasel, the mouse, the tortoise after his kind, the ferret, the chameleon, the lizard, the snail, the mole. These are unclean among all that creep. Whosoever doth touch them when they be dead shall be unclean until even. And upon whosoever any of them which are dead does fall, it shall be unclean, whether it be any vessel of wood or raiment or skin or sack, whatsoever vessel it be, wherein any work is done, it must be put in water, and it shall be unclean until even, so it shall be cleansed. And every earthen vessel whereunto any of them falleth, whatsoever is in it, shall be unclean, and you shall break it. You know, it seems like our Heavenly Father and the children, he was teaching the children of Israel about something they couldn't see, and that was microscopic organisms, which are endemic around dead things, basically. And we know that's the truth today, because now we have microscopes that we can see those things. So all of this is, these cleanliness statutes are good, very good. Of all meat which may be eaten, that on which water cometh shall be unclean. So you're not to reuse water which you wash meat which may be eaten. Yeah, it makes good sense. You know, if you wash your meat, you don't drink the water, okay? Shall be unclean, and all drink that may be drunk in every vessel shall be unclean. So you don't put slaughtered meat in a cup or a bowl and then you drink out of it. Yeah, see, our Heavenly Father, he knew about those microorganisms that we couldn't see, didn't he? He certainly did, didn't he? And everything whereupon any part of their carcass falleth shall be unclean, whether oven or ranges for pots, they shall be broken down, for they are unclean, and shall be unclean unto you. Nevertheless, a fountain or pit, wherein there is plenty of water, shall be clean, but that which touches their carcass shall be unclean. And if any part of their carcass fall upon any sowing seed which is to be sown, it shall be clean. So it doesn't hurt the seed. You can still sow the seed. But if any water be put upon the seed, and any part of their carcass fall upon it thereon, it shall be unclean unto you. And apparently that's all we have time for today. We got through the dietary statutes. We're getting into the cleanliness statutes. Very important to pay attention to. These are things which are almost secondhand as a general rule today. Things which our Heavenly Father gave to us thousands of years ago, which man just came to understand recently. Our Heavenly Father, he is a wonderful,